Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello and welcome to the 58th episode of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike. Joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing good.
Well, the show has been on an extended hiatus, and the last time you were on it was 2 years ago in July for Tasmania. As I've said previously, all throughout the animation direction spotlight that TV's Mr. Neil and I did last year, DreamWorks killed me.
With a shovel?
Yeah, I'm buried in Michael Wilson's backyard in a very shallow grave.
That's where he likes you.
We need to save that for other beastly sideshows. So Tooncast Beyond is back. We are refreshed. We are throwing out the seasons model. No more seasons. We're just going to do grab bag cartoon series, animated films, all that good stuff. And I figured we would finally jump on the Arctic bandwagon and talk about Walt Disney's Frozen.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's
a 2013 American 3D computer animated musical fantasy comedy film. That's a mouthful. Whoever wrote that should be shot.
Blame Wikipedia. Frozen. When did you first see this?
I did not see it in theater, but I did see it after it hit DVD.
Okay.
Or digital or whatever.
For me, I avoided this film like... There have been two Disney films in the past 10 years that I avoided like the plague when I first heard about them. Princess and the Frog and this film. Because I'm one of those don't get me wrong. I know everyone's like this at some point or another. They're so sick of everyone that they get in contact with or everyone they're in contact with online praising something that they just have no interest in. And you kind of get sick of the hype. And I'm not saying it's hype that, you know, is undeserved or whatever like that. I'm just saying that if something is so repeated to me all the time, and I know I'm guilty of this. I repeat stories all the time because I do so many goddamn podcasts on this network that half the time someone on this show never heard that story or someone on that show never heard that story. So don't get me wrong. I know repetitiveness is one of my flaws here, but
it is.
Shut up. I just didn't get why everyone was so on the Frozen train here. I just didn't get it. Yes. Well, the animation is beautiful, but I don't know. Go ahead.
What I was going to say, I'll tell you why. Kids' movies are in short supply.
Yeah, but this really is not a children's movie. We'll get into that later, but this really is.
It is. I mean, it's... People make... This is the thing about... Doesn't matter what the film is. People like to overanalyze any film they watch. And it goes for any... Like, it's all films. Not just animation, not just Disney. It's everything. People have to come up with a cockamamie reason why it fits them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it be comics, whether it be, you know, people have, like I said, they just have to overanalyze stuff to the point that it takes all the fun out of whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of ruins it, like, especially saying that it's not a kid's movie when it clearly is. People say that it has all these special undertones, which... If you're looking for that, you're going to find it because that's what you're looking for. Like, that's with any film, though. If you're looking for something hard enough, you're going to make it appear.
Mm-hmm.
But really, there was nothing wrong with this film. It was just, I mean, because if you want to talk about The Lion King, you know, or any of those kind of movies, I mean, it's about a kid that thinks he killed his dad because he didn't want to listen to him. He goes in the forest. And hangs out with a bunch of weird animals. He porks his girlfriend, and then he kills his uncle. So, I mean, that's like saying... I mean, it's really... I mean, and, you know, you look at Little Mermaid, you know, again, she's like... I mean, it's like I said, if you're looking for the crap, you're going to find it. So, it's one of those things. But getting back to my original point, there just aren't a lot of kids' movies out there anymore. Especially ones that have, like, the whole musical kind of catching the attention type stuff. Because I, with having a two-year-old, I find that the younger kids are gravitated more towards the high energy and the high vocals and the music. Doesn't necessarily have to sing. I mean, yeah, it a lot of the time it does because it gives them a reason to remember it. But a lot of the films that come out are geared towards us. I mean, really they are. So when something like this comes out, the parents are flocking towards it to take their kids to a movie because one, it gets them out of the house, and two, it gives them something to watch that are for the kids. So of course, you know, they're going to pay the hell out of it to go see the movie. And unfortunately it had hit a time where yes, there were other kids' movies out, but they weren't as popular as something from Disney. And then the fact that it had all the singing that it had in this, which was probably the first time since... I mean, yeah, you could argue The Princess and the Frog did, but it really wasn't. There really hasn't been any good musical numbers in a Disney film since Lion King.
So I can agree with that.
In that sense, that's why this film kind of took off.
Yeah, I mean... See, to me, and I know we're never going to be able... I mean, we can always go back and throw in an old Disney VHS, or now that they have the Diamond Edition stuff, we can, you know, find it on Blu-ray and stuff for all the classic Disney films. But I did not see this in theaters. I avoided this like the plague because I just was so sick of everyone saying, why don't you like this? Why don't you want to see this? Because I don't. It's... And when I first saw the trailer, I'm like, okay, that's interesting. How is this a Disney movie? This is like something that... This is just my first reaction, folks, when I saw the trailer. I was like, how is this a Disney movie? This is almost going to their Touchstone line. It was so... And maybe you're right. Maybe it was what I read into it, and that's fine. But everyone, as you already said, everyone reads stuff into everything. Because we... Everyone in the world has to have a point where... You need to, you know, like you said, this is kind of bad, but it also is good because you need to have the thing where, you know, you find some way to relate to what you're watching. Like, you know, like you brought up comics earlier, and we're not going to turn this into a comics podcast, but, you know, if you look at DC Universe, and we have over the past 6 years of the GCRN, but if you look at the DC Universe, Batman is the legend, Nightwing is the everyman. You know, I can envision myself at some point, you know, having similar character traits to Dick Grayson more so than Bruce Wayne. So it's the same thing here. We're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear a very honest trailer for Frozen, and we'll come back to set the stage after this.
Frozen. It's been 3 years since the last Disney musical. And 18 years since the last good Disney musical. Now the Big D is back and adjusted for inflation with two princesses, two goofy sidekicks, and three different orphans. Welcome to Arendelle, a magical-ish Scandinavian-ish country that's been cursed with eternal winter, even though their main export is ice. Meet Elsa, a manic depressive princess with a confusing set of powers like snow blasting, dressmaking, castle building, and creating life?
You're alive?
I think so.
They kind of gloss over that one. Fall in love with her adorkable sister, Anna, who spends 3 years of her adult life shut inside a castle, even though she could leave at any time.
I can't live like this anymore.
Then leave.
And who could forget the completely unnecessary, unexplained, magical troll rocks? When disaster strikes, watch Anna save the day by teaming up with her sister, a merchant, a hot guy, and a snowman to defeat villains like her sister, a merchant, a hot guy, and a snowman. Experience a clever twist on past Disney films that teaches girls everywhere they don't need a prince to rescue them because all men are disgusting loners, greedy murderers, or lying, manipulative, power-hungry sociopaths.
You won't get away with this.
I already have.
Happy now, Jezebel? So gather the family and sing along on a musical journey that's all about the soundtrack, featuring unforgettable songs like The Exposition Song.
Do you want some exposition? Some information through a song?
The song that sounds like it's from Wicked.
For the first time in forever, Disney let us sing. For the first time in forever, it's as good as Lion King.
The romantic duet.
We are about to pour. Totally gonna pour.
The other romantic duet.
I'm kinda turned on by reindeer.
The anthropomorphic sidekick's comic relief song.
When you're out of ideas, you give them a singing snowman.
The one you skip.
We are cutting ice, cause we are cutting ice.
The one you don't know the words to.
Simmy's a bit of a fixer-upper with everything.
And the YOLO song.
Get it out, get it out, get the song out of my head.
So it's time to set the stage, folks, and Steve kind of already did this with the mouthful that he said earlier. You know, 3D computer animated musical fantasy comedy film. I don't see how this is a comedy, but okay.
I wish they'd just let it go already.
Ha! Ha, ha, ha. So this is based off of Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tale, The Snow Queen. Film tells the story of a fearless princess who sets off on an epic journey alongside a rugged iceman and his loyal pet reindeer. Okay, first of all, when I first sat down to watch this, I had already had it so far beaten into my head that, you know, oh, the songs are so great. Oh, the plot is wonderful. Oh, the action is great. Oh, I sit down and watch this, and the whole first 20 minutes or 30 minutes of the movie where Anna has her... Okay, well, first of all, let's start at the beginning here. Trying to think. So, in the beginning here, you have Anna and Elsa as children. Elsa has these strange, you know, phenomenal cosmic powers. Whatever.
Itty bitty living space.
Yeah.
Because she locked herself in her room.
Yeah. And, you know, she's afraid of hurting somebody with it and blah, 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 blah. She doesn't know how to use it and whatever, whatever, whatever. She uses it one day and it accidentally injures her sister. So instead of telling her parents, or instead of, like, this is what I don't understand about this movie. And I know it's a movie, it's meant to be enjoyed, folks. I get that. But we are here to analyze the thing. So just, you know, bear with me, folks. Like, why didn't she confess to her parents right away? Why does everyone automatically shun Elsa? Just because she has this, I mean, I know it, you know, if you go into the whole mutant X gene or whatever else and all that, but it's just one of those things where it made absolutely zero sense to me why they shut her out and she felt so shut out and so, pardon the pun, out in the cold. I just didn't understand that. And then as the film progresses on, you have Anna as an 18-year-old, supposedly. I don't know. That's just what I've read online. Supposedly she's supposed to be 18. And she... Now, I know this can happen, because I know several people that it has happened to, but she falls head over heels, you know, love at first sight with Hans, I believe, and she doesn't do anything, doesn't ask anybody about this guy to try to... Now, I'll admit, when I was watching the movie, I did not see him automatically as going to be a double-crosser, but... After a while, I'm like, there's something wrong with this. So that whole scene I had issues with. And then Elsa herself, how is she a Disney princess? She's probably a Disney villain at this point. I know she gets redeemed at the end of the movie, but in the beginning of the movie, they're almost turning her into a Disney villain. And I just don't like it. It's not a positive film for children. I do not believe it is at all. I don't know. Thoughts?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
What specifically about it?
What specifically about it is not positive for children?
Yeah.
Let's see. She is automatically shunned and turned into a villain. And she goes off by her lonesome to live alone because she can't trust anybody. And the cliche is, and I know our good buddy Optimus Solo will like this because I know he hates it when plots do this, or so he's told me. We can heal everything with the power of true love. Yay! Give me a friggin' break.
I like the Lion King's theme better. We can heal everything with a pack of a hungry hyenas.
Yeah. But that's the other thing. That's a little different. That's a father-son family story and kind of thing. And don't get me wrong, the sister story here is a family story, but it's one of those family stories that is really screwed up. Like, I'm surprised these characters haven't made it, I'm surprised people haven't cosplayed as these characters and shown up on Jerry Springer for crap's sake. Let's get into the who's who of the movie. We have Kristen Bell as Anna. We have three different people doing her singing voice. We have Idina Menzel as Elsa. We have Jonathan Gruff as Kristoff. We have Josh Gad as Olaf. We have Alan Tudyk as the Duke of Weselton.
Weaselton.
We have Weaselton. Well, I was... No, no. We have Santino Marella. Oh, I'm sorry. Santino Fontana as the voice of Hans. Siren Hines as the Grand Pabby, the Troll King. Chris Williams as the Oaken, the owner of the Wandering Oaken's Trading Post and Sauna. We have... the director of the film, Jennifer Lee, is the Queen of Arendelle, Anna and Elsa's mother. And we have the brain himself, Maurice LaMarche, as the King of Arendelle, Anna and Elsa's father. That's probably the best thing out of the voice cast. Don't get me wrong, I love Kristen Bell. I do love her voice. But I don't know. What do you think of the voice cast over? Because most of these people, other than Kristen Bell, Alan Tudyk, and Maurice LaMarche, the rest of these people are all unknown to me.
Well, I knew, of course I know Maurice LaMarche.
Everyone does.
The freaking brain.
Yeah.
Alan Tudyk I knew from Dollhouse, among other things. Kristen Bell I've known from various other films. Idina Menzel, I've seen her in stuff, just not, I can't place what exactly.
Right.
Josh Gad I'd never heard of before this, but that seemed to be like his big outbreaking role because now he's in everything. And the rest of them I've never heard of. I don't know. I think that they all did pretty well for what the film was. Despite not having heard of any of them for the most part, I think that their voices fit the characters pretty well.
Yeah, their voices fit the characters, but like a Disney film, I expect more than...
You expected more star power than what was here?
Like
Robin Williams caliber?
Yeah. I mean, I expected more names in this list to recognize than just three. And Josh Gad now, he's gone on to do some weird thing with Billy Crystal, and it's that just...
Well, he did a movie with, it was like Chris Tucker or somebody, or...
Yeah.
And then he went and he's... If they ever do Gilligan's Island again, I guess he's going to be the skipper.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess he's doing some other voice stuff too, but yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. What's her name? Menzel, the voice of Elsa. She has done in stuff like Funny Girl Concert. Okay. She's done in stuff like she was the voice of Circe in 1998's Hercules, the animated series.
Oh, that's funny.
She was in Rescue Me as Carol. She was on Private Practice in 2009 for two episodes. She's obviously in Disney Infinity because of Elsa. She was Nancy Tremaine in Enchanted from 2007.
That's probably where I know her from then.
Mm-hmm. She was a bridesmaid in 2001's Kissing Jessica Stein. And she's got a bunch of theater credits as well. I like the voice cast for the film. I don't have a problem with the voice cast that because of their voices for their characters. I do really enjoy that. I just like I already said, I was kind of expecting something slightly different. Like, you know how we've complained in the last couple of years about how many actual celebrities are doing voiceover now? And you get a Disney film and there's three celebrities that we know of that are doing this movie. So there is that. I don't think this is a franchise I really would want to revisit. I know they just put out that short Frozen Fever. And I do like that. Like, instead of Disney like immediately greenlighting a sequel, which I know that there are probably plans for Frozen 2.
They've already pretty much announced it.
Yeah. I do like how Disney is doing the shorts. Like, so after a movie comes out, you know, 6 months, couple years down the line, whatever it is, hey, here's a short to tide you over to the next. I like that instead of completely rushing to get a sequel out right away. I love that. Getting into the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like I already said, this movie, I literally was hitting my head against my desk. And maybe it's because it was everything I was reading into it, but I just don't see what people like in this movie. Someone please comment on this post and give me a reason as to why you like this movie, other than the fact that you like the songs. Why do you like the plot of the movie? That's what I want to know from the listeners. Do you have any good, bad, and ugly moments about this? Anything you didn't really care for? Anything you absolutely enjoyed or any of that kind of stuff?
I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite Disney movies because I'd be lying. I like a lot of like The Lion King, like Mulan, you know, a lot of that era of animation from Disney. And besides that, I mean, really, the last one I cared about that was a Disney film was Wreck-It Ralph.
Right.
And before that was Pixar. So, I mean, it's not one of my favorites, but I wouldn't say it's one of the bottom feeders either. It's kind of in the middle for me.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it, but it's not one that I could sit there and stand to watch over and over.
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't enjoy it because it just...
Now, was it the film or was it the hype that killed it for you?
No, when I was watching the film, the plot makes... For me, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. The hype is what killed it for... The hype and everybody talking about it is what killed it for me, actually wanting to see it right away. Hence why I waited until it hit Redbox. But the plot itself, as I was watching the movie, I even watched it a second time before this episode recording, and I just don't know why. Come to find out, Elsa's ice powers are tied to her emotions. So if she's mad, she's going to be a, you know,
cold stone bitch.
Okay. I was gonna say a second degree murderer, but okay. Yeah, that cold stone bitch, that'll work, and that's not a new ice cream flavor, people.
It is an ice creamery.
That's why I said that. But the whole thing with her ice powers is, first of all, why is she the only one in the entire kingdom to have powers?
Apparently, because they built on the story of this in Once Upon a Time, the TV show, because they kind of incorporated them after the events of the movie, and some flashback moments. Apparently, her aunt also has the same power. Okay. But they locked her away because she was kind of evil. So, but it kind of brings that up again. But yeah, it's just one of the many, you know, characters with powers, but just happens to be actually good.
Yeah. Just what really doesn't work for me in the plot is her whole ice powers and how it's tied to her emotions. And like, don't get me wrong, I'm glad she saved her sister, or she sacrificed herself for her sister, and that, but that in turn turns into the whole plot device of, oh, hey, because you did this, guess what? We can now save the kingdom. Guess what? You're now a hero. You're now a heroine, Elsa. Yay! When you were a villain for 95% of the movie. I just can't. I don't think I'll ever watch this movie ever again. It's just not my thing. It really, really isn't, folks. You know, you mentioned earlier about, you know, something that the adults can put on for their kids and just kind of walk away. No, Disney movies that I, and, you know, I'm not a parent, obviously you are, but Disney movies that I think parents could put on and walk away from their kids, Robin Hood, Sword in the Stone.
Yeah, but unfortunately,
Lion King, Aladdin.
Some of those, though, are so dated.
Like, really.
The Sword in the Stone and Robin Hood bore the hell out of my kid because the animation is so dated. He has a hard time focusing in on it because the colors aren't as vibrant as anything that's out now. It's the same way with like any generation. Like, I enjoyed some of those. Like, I liked the Sword in the Stone and the Robin Hood and stuff like that because I watched them on, you know, back in the day when they had Saturday morning cartoons, and on Sundays they would play the ABC matinee Disney movie. And that's how I would catch a lot of these. Well, they don't do that now. So the only exposure they get is if it's on demand or if it's on Netflix or something, which most kids are going to pass by it. And the thing about it is I have a hard time getting my kid to pay attention to anything that's 2D animation or hand-drawn. Which seems to be pretty common with a lot of kids that I found. If it's not CG or that cel-shaded crap, they don't pay attention to it as much. That being said, a Pixar movie, they will pay attention to, or like a DreamWorks or a Fox Studio or something like that, because it's that kind of 3D kind of, you know, computer-generated imagery for the characters. But they'll also watch stuff from, like, you know, Little Mermaid, Mulan, you know, Lion King, stuff like that still kind of gets them because the colors and then the music. So it's, like I said, it's one of those things. But yeah, I get what you're saying, that a lot of the older stuff does still apply. And of course, this movie is more larger for girls than it is boys.
Even so, I just, like I said before, I want to put a disclaimer here. I don't want people to jump down my throat, but I know people will when I say this. I know I'm not a parent. I understand that. But seeing videos online of fathers and little girls singing the first love, it's true love, first love, whatever the hell. The song that Anna and Hans sing.
Doesn't matter.
Whatever. That song. Having fathers and daughters do it, that just... that just seems...
It may seem weird to you, but the thing is when your kid wants you to do something with them, you just kind of do it because it's fun right. for the kid. So
no, and I understand that, but just
despite the fact that the words may not apply to the situation.
Yeah, that's what gets me. The lyrics of the song do not apply.
In Frozen, I've seen so many parodies of the songs online, mostly dads making fun of the song Let It Go mm-hmm. because they're sick and tired of it. Yep. And, you know, like, Let It Go, I can't hear this song anymore, or something like that. And, you know, I've seen a lot of those online. And then, like, the Do You Want to Build a Snowman?
Yeah.
I've seen Do You Want to Do Some Blow Man? And stuff like that. Like, they've made it, like, people have done, like, the worst things with these songs. Granted, a lot of these films are easy to make fun of the songs, but, like, I find that because it was so popular, everybody was kind of riding that bandwagon,
mm-hmm.
nailing it to the wall. For the same reason, people are finding reasons to hate on the film because of undertones that they're, quote-unquote, seeing in the film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, there's nothing really wrong with it. But, you know, I mean, it's there are the typical film tropes of a kid's movie in it.
Right.
As well as a regular movie. It's just that, you know, it's a lot more obvious because it's out front and center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, folks, this one it's just not for me. What I found interesting and I found kind of weird that according to several different sources, according to piracy tracking site Excipio, Frozen was the second most pirated film of 2014 behind The Wolf of Wall Street with over 29.9 million illegal downloads via torrent sites.
You know why that is? That movie wasn't good enough to buy in the first place.
No, hold on. What I don't understand is why is it second behind why is Wolf of Wall Street number one? Because I just don't get that, but whatever.
Because people didn't want to pay for a movie where they drop the F-bomb every 5 seconds.
True. There is, I did grab a bit of trivia here. When Elsa joins the Disney princess lineup, she will be the only one who is not a teenager. Elsa's castle needed at least 50 animators to create.
Hey, at least now, she wasn't jailbait like the rest of them. Just saying.
So, the fact that her castle needed 50 animators, that's awesome. That's one thing I will praise about this movie. The movie looks amazing. The animation is so good. Absolutely love the animation in this film. In addition to being the first female to direct a full-length Disney animated feature film, Jennifer Lee also became the first woman to solely write an entire screenplay for a Disney animated film since Linda Wolverton for Beauty and the Beast in 1991. And the last bit of trivia here I have, the most complex frame in the movie required over 132 hours to render. I cannot imagine that. Like, it takes us, and I know it's video, and I know it's completely different from audio, but
video, usually, depending on the complexity and the amount of quality that they're trying to pack into that, can be freaking huge and take forever.
Well, I mean, 132 hours for the most complex frame in the film, but, like, I know for us, you know, when we're doing audio, it's like, it may take me... When I go to export, it may take 15, 20 minutes or so, depending on the podcast length for whatever show I'm editing.
Mm-hmm.
But 132 hours of rendering, I could never... Oh, man. That's nuts. At the box office, Frozen earned $400.7 million in North America and an estimated $873.5 million in other countries, for a worldwide total of just north of $1.274 billion. Calculating in all expenses, Deadline.com estimated that the film made a profit of over $400 million. Well, yeah... fifth highest grossing film, the highest grossing animated film, the highest grossing 2013 film, and the highest grossing Walt Disney Pictures release, and the second highest grossing film distributed by Disney. That's crazy. All right, so we are going to rate this movie based on our GCRN Universal rating scale, 0 to 5 stars. What are you going to give Frozen, sir?
I'd probably give it a 4, just because it's got a lot of... I mean, yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of the film, but it does have a lot of solid... the animation alone is the main saving grace for it. The story is pretty good, too. The music is... obviously catchy, because look at why they re-released it in theaters and the kids freaking flocked over it. Halloween time, it's like do a shot every time you see an Elsa. you'd be drunk in 5 minutes. But no, I mean it's definitely a pretty solid Disney film. For the recent era, I mean, like I said, there hasn't been, I mean, besides Wreck-It Ralph, there really hadn't been one in years. So.
I'm going to give it a... I did not enjoy the plot of the movie. So what I'm going to give it is solely based on the animation. And that's probably it. I'll give it a 3 for animation. I can't go any higher than that, and if I go any lower, it's going to be because of the plot. I don't know. I guess I'm crazy, folks. I guess I'm just too negative in my old age.
Go.
You're getting up there, too.
Oh. So.
obviously, Frozen is on DVD, Blu-ray, and all that good stuff, so there you go. I think that's going to do it for us here. You got anything coming up you want to pimp out?
I don't know. I've always got something going on.
Yeah.
Between my Transformers site that I'm doing, Transformers Network, which is revived, and that, and you know, working on some secret projects for Altered Geek. But other than that, you can catch me on Geekcast Radio and Twitter.
Yep. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter at Tooncast Beyond is the show Twitter. Mine is TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
At SCP21.
You can also follow the network at Geekcast Radio. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line and tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. There is a 5-minute time limit. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we will be reviewing Johnny Test. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Pixels in the Animation is the Geekcast Radio Network's video game cartoon review show. We are covering every episode of 9 different video game cartoons. Join TV's Mr. Neil and myself, TFG1 Mike, as we trek through multiple Mario tunes, Zelda, Captain N, Mega Man, Sonic, and we are also driving through Donkey Kong Country. Pixels in the Animation is 100 episodes of video game cartoon goodness, so tune in to help us find the Pixels in the Animation, which you can find every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. Pause! Got a head of fiery hair and a turbocharged backpack. The genius sisters use them like a lab rat. A neat free dad at home, a super busy mom. The boy's best friend is a talking dog. That's right. 3 extreme genes in an air breathing shark. Mega action game controller skating in the park. A Pharaoh booster bling bling. What do we make of this? Johnny Test. This is the life of a boy named Johnny Test. Johnny Test. This is the life of a boy named Johnny Test.